I have the most beautiful wife, and she's the only beautiful wife that I married to, Beth Chausen, sitting over there. Wave your hands, Beth. There you go. We just had our 11th anniversary last Saturday. So, thank you. And we have two beautiful children together. Our first one is Elias. He's 8 years old. And Amina is our second one. And she is 5 years old. So today, I would like to share with you about their stories, the stories of God's faithfulness in their lives that I would like to share with you. We'll start with Elias. Elias, his full name is Elias Yoel Chausen. Now, Elias means Yahweh is my God, and Yoel means the Lord overcomes, and Chausen means he's part Asian. And you can come and talk to me about that later if you want to. Elias was born with a syndrome called Peyer-Robin syndrome, which is the jaw pushed back and the tongue flopped and blocked the airway. He couldn't breathe. And when he was born, he had to be transferred to Children's Mercy right away. And he's in the hospital for several months. And because of the tongue flopped like that, it create the palate. Like if there's a palate in the cleft palate inside. And when he 4 days old, the doctor had to break his jaw bones, like both sides, and then put the device in to pull his jaw forward and to bring the tongue forward as well. And that's also left like a big hole in his mouth. And when he's like about a year old, the doctor had to come and then tear it all up on his palate in order to fix it, to put it together. So God used Elias to remind us of who he is. That God is his Yahweh. It's Elias Yahweh. And this Yahweh is the one that gave him the strength to go through his struggles in his life. We will remind him every year at his birthday. Say, remember the story. Remember it. Keep it. And then share it with others. So that God's will be lifted up and his name will be proclaimed. Now Amina, her full name is Amina Joy Chausen. Amina means faithful and trusted. And Joy is joyful. If you've been around Amina, you know that she's full of joy and surprises, right? And the Chausen part, you can talk to me later. So Amina, we pray for her that she would be born with no complications, because we already went through that with Elias, and it was very emotional. It's really hard for us. And we said, God, please let her be born with no complication. We don't want to go through that. But it's full of surprises, right? She was born premature at 26 weeks of pregnancy, very, very early. She weighed 1 pound and 15 ounces, very small. Her feet's like my thumb. And it was a hard time for us. It's very emotional for us. You know, we prayed to God, and God gave us a different answer. But God, again, used her life to remind us of who he is. That he is faithful and to be trusted. Even though we don't understand what's happening, even though we pray something and then God answered differently, but he said, I am faithful. Just like the song we sang, right? And then he can be trusted. What about you? Do you have any story of God's faithfulness in your life that you remember? Think about that. Have you shared that with anybody? If you have, please continue to do that. But if you have not, today, I encourage you and I challenge you to share that with others so that God's name will be lifted up and proclaimed. So these are the stories that happen to us in our lives and in our kids' life that remind us of who God is and his faithfulness in our lives. And what I would like you to do to be challenged today is to do so, to share that with others. We are living in a dark world. We are living in a dark world, and we challenge to continue to shine in it. And Mordecai and Esther and the Jews that living in that time, they were also living in a darkness, and they were also challenged to shine in that dark world. So we're going to learn more about God's faithfulness in their lives in the last two chapters that we're going to study together. So let's go to Esther chapter 9. Verse 20 to 28. All right, if you find it, just follow me. Okay, I'm going to read. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the day on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they call these days Purim, after the term pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days, according to what was written and at the time appointed every year. Now watch this, verse 28. And these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fail into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. There are 2 points I would like to make today as we study this scripture together. Point number one, we continue to shine by remembering and sharing God's faithfulness in our lives. Okay, number one, we continue to shine in this dark world by remembering and sharing God's faithfulness in our lives. Not once is God's name mentioned in the book of Esther, but we see that God's hand are in everywhere in the story, and his faithfulness are so evident that we cannot deny it. Let's look at verse 28. You see that because of God's faithfulness, the Jews set this day to celebrate, to remember, and to keep this. Okay, look at verse 28 one more time. I'm going to read that. And these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every clan, every province, and every city. And they have to remember and keep it and then share it in order to sustain that. I'm going to give you a quick overview of the story in the book of Esther. It's going to be really short. So follow with me, okay? Now, we have this king named Ahasuerus. He got a queen named Vashti, and he got mad at her, and he kicked her out. And then he was wifeless, and he got lonely. And then he's like, what should I do with my life now? Alone. and he set a party to go search for a wife, right? And then he was searching for a wife, and he found, you see that Esther now become the queen, right? He found Esther, and then Esther became his queen. Esther was a Jew. She was adopted by her cousin named Mordecai. And at that time, Haman, he was appointed to be second in rank after King Ahasuerus. He had power. Haman was the Agagite. The Agagite is the descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites. They're longtime enemies of the Jews. Now, Haman hates the Jews, and then hate Mordecai. Haman set out the rules that everybody should bow to me because I am in power, right? I have power. Now, everybody will bow to me. Mordecai refused to do so. He said, nope, I'm not going to bow down to you. And then, because of that, Haman got really upset, right? He set the plan to kill not just Mordecai, but all the Jews, to annihilate them, to kill them all. And then Mordecai found out about that, went to Esther and say, hey, you close to the king, right? Go before the king and see and tell the king about all this that happened. And Esther was like, I'm not quite sure about that because I might get killed, right? But she was faithful. She was obedient. She said, no matter what happened to me, if I perish, I perish. I would go before the king. And through that, because of that, God saved the Jews. And that is the day that Haman chose, you know, when he cast the pur or the lot. And he found a date to kill all the Jews. And that day that he set was the day that his life ended. And the Jews saw that. That's God's faithfulness to save their lives. And they set that day as a holiday called Purim to remember God's faithfulness to them. And they keep that, and they share that throughout their generation. So that's a story. You with me? All the story, it's very short. The account of Esther reminds me of the story of Joseph, which we see God's name mentioned everywhere. We see God everywhere in the story of Joseph, right? And then also reminds me of the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to compare these three stories because there are similarities that I would like to make, and then I want you to pay really close attention to it. There are eight themes together. Number one, we see that in Esther that Haman seeks to annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women, children, right? To kill them all. Now, in the story of Joseph, we see that there's a great famine that happened. It's so severe that it will kill everybody on the earth. And then we see in the story of our Lord Jesus Christ that sin brings death to all humanity. Similar, right? According to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Because of sin, you and I would be forever tormented in hell if we didn't have Jesus Christ. Second, Esther was brought to the palace for a reason. Joseph was also brought to the palace for a reason. He was sold, right, by his own brothers. But here's a little bit of twist right here. Jesus Christ, our Lord, left his palace knowing that he would be suffered and then he would be beaten and he would be crucified on the cross. But he left his palace willingly, but also for a reason. Number three, this is the reason. Look back at Esther. It's God's plan all along to save the Jews through Esther. Right? Mordecai reminds Esther this. He said, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Right? So God chose Esther. It's God's plan to save the Jews through her. Joseph, It's also God's plan all along to save the Jews through Joseph. Remember this when his brothers came before him, and Joseph told his brothers this. It's, "For God sent me before you to preserve your life." And he then said, "You did not send me here, but God." Amen? You did not send me here, but God. It's also God's plan all along to save all of us, the humanity, through our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Amen? Those that put faith in him. Sin brings death, but Jesus Christ brings eternal life. Jesus came to live a life without sin, to suffer and to die on the cross and to be buried for 3 days, to take the punishment of our sins. But praise God, on the third day, he was raised to life. He defeated death in order to give us life. If you want life today, you must repent of your sin and confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Number four, there's a moment of testing for Esther to choose to be faithful and obedient. And she chose to be obedient. Remember the famous quote that say, "If I perish, I perish," right? She's like, doesn't matter what happened to me, all right? First, she was hesitated, right? And then she's like, okay, never mind. It's okay. I will do whatever God wants me to do. If I perish, I perish. Joseph also had a moment of testing that he had to choose to be faithful and obedient. Remember the story about Potiphar's wife? Okay, she seduced him, and he said this to her. She said, he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He chose not to sin against God. Be obedient. Our Lord Jesus Christ also had to choose to be faithful and obedient to God the Father. Remember the story when he was in the wilderness? Satan came to me, to him, and tempt him, and he said, "All these I will give to you." Satan said that to Jesus. "If you would fall down and worship me." And then Jesus replied, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And another time when he before he was crucified in the garden. Anybody remember that story? Jesus Christ was with his disciple, and he said, "My soul was sorrowful before the cross," right? Before going to the cross. And then he prayed to the Father this. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus Christ chose to be obedient and faithful to God the Father. Because of his faithfulness and his obedience, those that put their faith in him will be called children of God and will be rescued from eternal punishment in hell. Amen. Number five, God gives favor to those who are faithful and obedient. We learn that the king Ahasuerus, in Esther, the king Ahasuerus gave favor to Esther, right? Of all the ladies. And the eunuch also gave favor to Esther because of her faithfulness. And we see in Joseph's life too, he gained favor in the sight of Potiphar, and then the prison keeper, and then in the sight of the Pharaohs, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ, if you remember at his baptism, he won favor in God's eyes. And there's a voice from heaven said this: "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased." Because this is the thread that you see in all of these three people that they have in common is their faithfulness and their obedience to God. They did not seek the approval of men, but they sought the approval of God. Let me ask you this question this morning. From whom are you seeking the approval? From God or from men? If your answer is from God, then you must be faithful and obedient to him. Number six, there's a moment of silence or hopelessness. In Esther 6:1-3, we learn that King Ahasuerus' life was saved by Mordecai, but he was quickly forgotten, right? Nothing has been done to him. In Joseph, after revealing the secret dreams of the king's cupbearer, he then forgotten and then left in jail for 2 years, right? So similarities right there. What about us? When Jesus Christ was crucified and buried in the tomb, there's a moment of silence and hopelessness. People lost hope. But praise God that the story did not end in hopelessness, but in joy and hopefulness, because our Lord Jesus Christ was raised to life. So that when we put our faith in him, we then too can live. We're not under the curse of death, but under the grace of God in life. There are times in our life that we feel like that, right? When we pray, you remember the story I shared with you about Mina? We pray one thing and God gave us a different answer. And a lot of times when we pray and we came to God and feel like, God, did you hear my prayer? Did you even listen to my prayer? Or do you even care about me? Right? We often have those questions. But God wants us to trust him despite of our circumstances. I always keep this verse in my heart, and I live by it. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now, here's the thing, though. The Bible didn't say that he will make your path smooth or easier or nice or filled with roses, right? But it says that it will be straight according to God's will for your life. Amen? Number seven, God rewards and honors those who are faithful and obedient to him. In Esther, we see that the king took off the ring that he gave to Haman and then gave it to Mordecai, right? Because of his faithfulness, God rewards that. And then Mordecai became second in command after the king. In Joseph's story, you can see that too, that the Pharaoh took off his signet ring and then gave it to Joseph, and then he became second in command after the Pharaoh. According to Mark 13:26, Philippians 2:10-11, our Lord Jesus Christ is now sitting on the right hand of God, full with power and glory, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And according to Matthew 28:18, it said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Jesus. It said, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them in all that I commanded. Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Now, all authority is given to our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because of his faithfulness and his obedience to God the Father. God rewarded that. Number 8, there's a moment of celebration. Purim, remember that? In Esther, we see that the Jews celebrate this holiday called Purim, which is a day of turning from sorrow to gladness, from mourning to a holiday. For Joseph, he got a family reunion. We all love that, right? It is a moment turning from hatred to love and to forgiveness. What about us? For us, it's the empty tomb. Why is the empty tomb? Because it's the beginning of turning from hopelessness to joy and hopefulness. They couldn't find his body because he was raised to life. He conquered death and was raised to life, and we too will not be under the curse of death, remember? But under the grace of God in life, if we put our faith in him as our Lord and Savior. So now, what will you do with this truth? We learn that Yahweh is our God, and he is the Lord who overcomes. He's faithful and trustworthy. I want you to remember and share of who God is in your life, despite of the circumstances, the situations that you are in right now. Your circumstances will not change of who God is. He is who he is and forever will be. Amen? That's who God is. In which state of life are you in right now? Are you in the time of suffering or hardship? Do not worry, because God has something greater for you. Are you in a time that you're being tested and challenged to be faithful and obedient to God? That's great, because once you pass that test, you will be God's vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. Are you in the moment of silence? No answer from God? Pray, heard nothing? Do not freak out, because God is totally at work in his own timing. Whether or not you understand it, see it, or know it, he is working. Remember the story about Esther? God's name not mentioned, but he's at work in everywhere. Are you experiencing God's blessing? That's great. But don't enjoy your blessings over your relationship with the one who blessed you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are you in the moment of celebrating victory? Congrats if you have that. But do not forget that all your achievements and victory in your life come from the Lord. The fact is, God is always faithful in all of those moments, even when we are not faithful to him or we don't understand what he's doing. We cannot change who God is. Our circumstances cannot remove his love from us. Amen? We're going to go to the next point. We're going to read Esther 10, verse 1 to 3. King Ahasuerus imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and might, and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to the king Ahasuerus. And he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. So point number 2, since we all live in a dark world, we continue to shine in this dark world by serving God and others faithfully. We learn that Mordecai could care less about what could happen to him, what would happen to him, right? He did not bow down to Haman, and he's like, just do to me whatever you want to. But once he found out about what Haman planned to do to all Jews, to everybody, his people, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on. He grieved. He cared about his people. He served his people. Mordecai did not seek reputation or popularity. You know, later in the story that we just read, then he became second in command after the king, right? He did not abuse his power like Haman did. He did not use the power to conquer people, right? To rule over people. But he used it to serve others. You see in verse 3, let's read that one more time, verse 3. So Mordecai, the Jews, was second in rank to the king Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. Do we care more about serving others or being served by others? Do we care more about the welfare of others or our own well-being? Do we seek peace with all people or we seek the reputation that this world could give us? Jesus said in Matthew 20, 28, said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Therefore, do not get lost in God's blessing that you forget God and forget to care about others. So I challenge you to remember that, to shine by serving God and others faithfully. So today, I'll leave you with these two questions. Number one, in what areas of your life right now that God is calling you to be faithful and obedient to? Let me repeat it one more time. In what areas of your life right now that God is calling you to be faithful and obedient to? Is he calling you to surrender your life to him? Is he calling you to repent of your sins and then turn back to him? Is he calling you to trust him no matter what's happening to you right now? To trust that he is faithful and to be trusted? It's not too late to do so. Number two, in what areas of your life right now that you are serving God by serving others? Is God calling you right now to find opportunity to serve in this church, Blue Valley Baptist Church, or in your community that you live in? Is God calling you to minister to those around you in need, around you? Your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, the friends at school. Is he calling you? Will you be faithful and obedient to him? Will you? Now is your turn. Let's pray.